Where are we going to meet today?
That's a good question.
What?
Where are we going to meet today?
Probably the Rutledge's. They don't have it.
Are you going to have Bible study today? Mm-hmm. Are you having Bible study today?
Yeah.
You don't every Thursday?
No.
There are some Thursdays you don't have Bible study?
What kind of are you?
Don't we?
Not very often.
I know, but it's just often enough that I'd like to ask on Thursday morning so I know what to do down there at 7 o'clock. It's not a stupid question.
Were you being treated?
Yes.
Did I do that?
And last week, too. No, but she did this time, but last week you kind of looked like, why are you asking me?
Well, don't fear the faces of...
I don't. Or yours either.
Or your own.
Let's go to Matthew 24.
I already quit once this morning. Nobody knows it.
We're still studying Romans 1, but it's this thing about that he was declared to be the Son of God with power. And that worketh by the resurrection, all that we were talking about the last few days. And you know, we've been at this a long time. And there are certain things that are predictable in terms of how people will respond. And it's you can you I mean it's just about a sure bet about this idea. Because he is declared with power in us, then there's never again a need to justify. And this, I've been on this justification thing for a long time now. But just watch and see how much of the human condition is spent justifying. And it's huge. It's constant. It's never ending.
You think this is appropriate to do this?
What?
I'd just be stupid trying to make you justify yourself if I can trick you.
But it brought to mind a particular. I got up early this morning at 2:30, so I've been studying this thing for a long time this morning. And what is this incredible need for the human race to justify themselves? And it's related to something that Jesus talked about where he's quoting Daniel's. But let's go to Matthew 24, verse 15. I'll start in verse 14. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." And there's this strange, incredibly weird sentence structure. "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." We know that Adam and Eve were naked and unashamed, and it means a thousand times more than not having any clothes on. They were naked and unashamed. And so what I did this morning and most of this last night was take a look at the relationship between this abomination that's spoken of by the prophet Daniel and the why we justify ourselves all the time, why we can't be challenged. Why, you know, especially in marriages. I mean, you can witness it. It's, you know, and it's like Harry and I are almost married, so like it's like constant. Like, or Pete and I, or Ronnie, or Gary. You can, I know, you know, if I wanted to, I know what to say to put you on a trip, right? And I've often said that the purpose of a preacher is so that he can no longer put you on a trip. That's what happens. That's the process. But listen to these words again. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand, it means like stay in the holy place, never leave it again, because you never have to leave it again if you've seen the abomination of desolation. And I believe that the abomination of desolation is revealed in us as shame. And shame is it's like the mother of all emotions, and it's so overpowering, and yet there is no facial expression for shame. It's the only emotion for which there's no facial expression. And so this isn't about psychobabble. This is about what really, remember, this is why there was both a trespass offering and a sin offering. There was a whole series of trespass offerings that covered the things that you did wrong. You did a trespass. This is the reason that I started talking about a long time ago, that sin isn't what you do, it's what you are. And what you are, and what all of us are, until we see this abomination of desolation. What does it say? We shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, or stay in the holy place from that forth. And so I believe this abomination is related to shame. And until you can see your own shame and laugh at it, that's why, because all of the idolatry that we build throughout our whole lives is to cover the shame, to cover this feeling of total and complete inadequacy. Now, every time I talk about shame, I can see and sense people get nervous. You know, this is something you don't want to talk about. And so, and now let's go to Luke 16. I want to see what else Jesus said here.
16?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Chapter 16, verse 14. And the Pharisees, and in my opinion, that should be a small p, because it's the Pharisee in all of us. The Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And again, we have the word abomination. And it's somehow the antithesis of how Adam and Eve were created. They were naked and unashamed. They were totally transparent, and yet there was no shame involved. Now, Harry, you okay?
No. I'm aggravated.
Why?
I've decided that I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm angry.
Now, can you see right now how that's how God sees you?
I'm sitting here and I'm listening to every word you say, and I'm convicted by it. And I'm still, unfortunately, I'm still embarrassed and angry. And I just have to get over it. I don't know what else to do.
Remember, the anecdote to this is to be able to laugh at yourself?
Mm-hmm. I do. And I will. And in this instant, I can't do that yet. I'm trying like hell to get there.
Again, I didn't. This isn't in response to Harry. This happened you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is not, it doesn't say it is an abomination, it says it is abomination. Because the one thing that, what is ambition? You ever thought of that? What is ambition? What causes this striving ambition?
Before that, what is abomination? What is that word all about?
I was going to ask you that. Definition of that item.
Well, that's what we're. That's what I'm. My what I'm proposing to you is it is the word abomination means totally and completely worthless. Totally and completely without redeeming value. Totally and completely a worship of Baal.
Yeah, from God's point of view, that's the only place it's important to see it from. It doesn't matter what I think of it, but what he thinks of it. It's like it's a total waste.
Right, and what it does is it causes you to sell your birthright, even if you think you understand, even if you think you see, even if you've been born into the kingdom. There's some action that can happen that can cause you to sell your birthright, to sell out everything. Now, if any of you have ever been married, or had a significant other for any period of time, how often does this happen? But something triggers something, and boom.
It's like
you're off, it's gone. It's you gotta go, you gotta leave, it's over. And then by God's grace, time continues so that that isn't the place that we are found in Him. Now, what the Scriptures declare, and I think I can prove this to you, is that there are only two things that we can be clothed with. We're either clothed with abomination or we're clothed with His righteousness. And all of the attempts that we do to justify ourselves is the proof that we're clothed with the wrong garment. There's only two garments. It's like there's only two places, the judgment seat or the mercy seat. The garment on the mercy seat is the righteousness of Christ, meaning I am never again right. The garment on the judgment seat is shame, abomination. And it seems to be, and there's no anecdote. You can't deal with it because it is instantaneous, automatic, because for an instant in time when that shame is seen or revealed or brought to the surface, then it isn't about that I've done something wrong or I've sinned or I've hurt somebody's feelings. It's a thousand times worse than that. There's no place to hide. You can't. You do trespass. You are shame. And so therefore, justification is all you can do. Justification, revenge, and retribution. So we could really name this Antichrist, this instead of Christ. We can put a name on him. Abomination. The only way that this is when people will run out screaming, because you can face it. I did something wrong, but you can't face that you are wrong. That's the nature. Why do you think Jesus said this? I mean, this is an incredible thing to say. You are they which justify yourselves before or among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So when you can finally see the abomination, when you see it, then you stay in the holy place. You don't ever leave it. And the only way to get back, if for a moment you feel like you're out of it, is, my God, he tricked me again. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. And therefore, you can be, I promise you, because I've experienced it, I promise you, once you can laugh at your shame, you're free. Because you never again have to justify yourself. Because your whole being, the being which is you, is now energized only by the power of the resurrection, and it never again has anything to do with the condition of the vessel, or the thoughts, or the emotions. Does this communicate? John? Something's going on with Mr. Bojo. No? Some awareness, maybe?
Yeah.
Anything you want to share?
I just had a recent experience in my life where it caused me to consider the fact that when I'm here with you, I have my shame is, I think, probably non-existent. I don't know. I don't feel it. So therefore, you think that your shame is gone. But then something happens and you realize that it isn't. I had an occasion to meet with a friend of mine recently who I hadn't seen in a long time. After everything that I've been through, speaking to him for the first time, I felt shame.
Yeah. See, that's why we eat the bread inside the camp. We eat, but we bear his reproach outside. Now, and again, the bearing his reproach is what tests and makes manifest and makes secure this resurrection, this mystery. And that's why you gotta go push all the... You can't have some kind of cloistered place. What I want to do is crazy. Because what I want to do is I want to go live in the desert or live in a cave or something, so I don't have to put up with anything. But that's the antithesis of the will of God, because he wants this thing to be fully tested, so to find out, is there anything in the universe? Is there any situation in your future? Is there any situation in your past? Is there anything that can cause this abomination to be put back on instead of his righteousness? And that's why it's so clear to, when we have moments of clarity, to see that there are only two garments. There's only the garment of shame or the garment of his righteousness. If when you talk to the deepest part of your being, because everything else is acting so you don't reveal the shame. Everything else are social mores and customs, so you don't talk about it. Because the trigger mechanism, that's why people hate me so bad. Because I can see what the trigger mechanisms are. Between the airy guys in this room, I should be beaten to a pulp. They've each beat me up so many times, probably this morning.
It'll be in the book.
Huh?
It'll be in my book.
In your book? But that's that makes you feel uncomfortable. And it's not that there's anything. It's everybody is in. That's what you have to see. We are all in this condition. Our garment is either shame, and then we do everything we can to put on to cover it so it doesn't look like a shame. That's why ambition and shame are directly one-to-one related. because it's a, you're running from your shame. From God's standpoint, ambition is just crazy because it's finished. You've been perfected forever. But do you really believe that at the core of your being? Well, that's why we live in community. But that's also why, over the years, the church has got bigger and bigger. You know, there wasn't a building called a church for 300 and some years. They met in the home, and they met in this, you know, the general rule of thumb was at least 10, but no more than 20. So there could be this vulnerability, this place to talk about what this thing called sanctification, what it looks like and how it's revealed and how His faithfulness is always there. It never leaves. Even when that, and therefore when something happens and all of a sudden some comment is made and all of a sudden you know you've got on this wrong garment. And I promise you, everyone does what Harry said. You've got, oh, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. Screw you. Because that's what we have to do, all of us. And that's why our response, the only way to put on the righteousness of Christ is to totally abandon all of you, not trying to do something of it right.
Would you talk a moment about what the highly esteemed things are? It's like,
anything.
I was thinking of it in terms of it's the one who has the best covering. From a man's point of view, that's highly esteemed, somebody who really can.
The bottom line for the highly esteemed, I mean, to take it to the end, it's the one who has made himself most acceptable, most desired by the one that has the God that has the right of first redemption. It's the one who has made himself, whatever that is, whether it's in interpersonal relationships, whether it's in appearance, whether it's in it's the one who has done the best at pleasing the God of this world. Which is what, again, that's what we're hardwired to do. Until you find out, oh crap. Or until, even if you haven't found it out by experience, if you really investigate yourself and look at yourself and find out, wait a minute, something's wrong with this story. Something's wrong with all these value systems that everybody seems to so heartily embrace. And then, my God, then there's peace because you know Him. You know you don't have to try to make yourself acceptable to that idiot. And then my God, then the gospel is great news.
That's when you'll bear a little reproach too, because other people don't like it when you don't.
Well, here's what Jesus said would happen to you. It says, number one, you'll be hated of all men. Number two, they'll think you're demon-possessed and crazy. And number three is they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. We don't have to look around very hard at what. That's why believers don't do signs and wonders. They are signs and wonders. But can you see? All I'm wanting to do today is to for you to be able to at least grok for a second how intertwined shame is and abomination and this justifying yourself. Any expansions, Ms. Jocelyn and Rosanna?
I was just thinking about basic thing is that, you know, I have a right to exist. You have to justify that core.
But the reason, the secret thing is Again, this is what's this is the cosmic tell in your in our poker game. You know you don't have a right to. You know at the core of your being that that something is really flawed, but you justify yourself because you know it. And so you already know the truth. Does that communicate?
That's the heart of the matter.
Huh?
That's the heart of the matter.
Yeah. But the tell that you're playing, you know, that's why it's so, that's why poker or anything else is so, it's like child's play, because everybody's got the tell. And cosmic poker is the really biggie.
Basically, it's just anybody or anything that says your mask has slipped or your makeup is flawed or the costume doesn't quite work. That's the...
But can you see why? They will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. Because that's the whole... That's and to do well unto yourself is, in its ultimate, means to do the best you can to make yourself acceptable to the nearer kinsman, the one who has the right of first redemption, which is the God of this world. Now, historically, the church has always come against that and said, no, the cross. But now, because of religious broadcasting, the only ones that last on religious broadcasters are the ones that are teaching God's people how to be acceptable to the one who has the right of first room, how to have nicer kids, how to. So the abomination is only thing, and shame are the manipulations of the whore of Babylon, the whole Babylonian system, and mercy and grace are the only things about, and self-seeking, self-realization, and mercy and grace are the only things in the kingdom of God that are operating, because it's His business. It's His. You don't have to worry about getting something right. You don't have to be ever worry about doing right. That's pretty big, because if you really become aware of this and then look and see how often you justify yourself internally, it'll be frightening. Kevin?
I think I justify myself, but I don't think I have a good reason.
You are really fundamentally evil.
When it says Christ despised the shame.
Yeah, we're gonna. That's coming up. He thought it as nothing, and we're gonna look and see exactly how Christ experienced all the possible shame for you, so you don't ever have to experience it again. We're going to go through that step by step. Also, we can stop justifying ourselves. Okay? So we're taking... This is really not a detour, but it's just an expansion of the tale of living by the power of God instead of our power. Okay?
For Gary's benefit.
It's for Gary's benefit. Is that... Got a comprehension a little bit, Mr. Jeff? Can you see a light at the end of the tunnel?
Yes.
Take heed as to the light shining in the dark place.
I didn't know I was on a tunnel.
Well, now listen. Take heed as to the light shining in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So there's no more wanting twilight. No more wanting to get better. You see the abomination? Oh, that's icky. I can't believe I ever said icky. I've never said icky in my life.
Yucky, icky.
Icky.
What do you have now?
I've become a girly man. Ooh, icky. Maybe I've always been a girly man.
You've been married to Gary.
Huh?
I was married to you.
You said you were married to Gary.
No, I didn't. I said I was almost married to you. I spent so much time with you.
That was a trick
trigger for Harry.
Yeah. That's why he started justifying himself.
He just threw up on the table.
No, Gary, Gary really is.
Is that old expression that would gag a maggot?
Yeah. All right, we'll probably spend a little bit more time on this.
Is that a take a big guy?
Take a big guy.